Blog Talk Radio.
Hi Saints, I'm Michael Tivo Mike Jefferson. I'm a teaching pastor and the author of the book Victory, and this is the Tivo Mike Show, a podcast for TV fanatics who love Jesus. I'm here in the studio with my best friend, our entertainment guru, Mike Warner.
Good morning, guys.
With Los Angeles' homeless population hovering around 60,000, a $3.6 million project built from shipping containers on Colden Avenue in South LA, and some say this could provide a roadmap for a long-term solution, with Gary Foster and Greg Gurman among the backers of the unique housing partnership. It's Monday, November 5th. Money Monday is here.
Talk about TV just to reveal JC, yeah. The Devo Mike.
The homeless. What a fun topic this is going to be.
Very fun topic.
Especially there's so many, I mean, in L.A. There's 60,000 of them. So here's the way the solution should read. They should all get a place and share the rent. There's enough of them where now each of them can afford 2 cents a month times 60,000. And they could rent a huge mansion next door to share. And then they could help her make sure that, you know, her home doesn't need to be a cocaine den anymore. You know what I'm saying? They're like,
well, that could work.
They're good neighbors, neighborhood watch. They need income again. They each need to make their 2 cents. But there was an article about this shipping containers building. And I thought it was pretty interesting because here's what's good about it. In this new community, built from shipping containers, it doesn't have to go through all of the rigmarole and red tape to get built. So it can be done for like a quarter of the price to build an actual complex of natural materials and wood and brick. And
ideally, it would just be taking the shipping containers and giving it segments to equal rooms.
Right.
The thing you have to make sure is we got to make sure we cut out windows. Because
well, this is all windows
here. It's
real
gloomy.
Yeah, this looks very... It looked like Ready Player One.
Oh.
But with these clear containers.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. And it could work because what I liked about it, what I didn't like, and let's start what I didn't like. Didn't like that they think we can just fix this with, you can't solve money problems with money, and you can't solve homelessness with homes. Now, I know that sounds weird, but
no,
there are stuff that makes them homeless.
Yeah.
See, I was homeless for one day. One day. And I was done. But I didn't have any money. So it's not, I had no money. I had zero. I had $0, especially when my fool behind decided to spend the money I did have, the $215.36, not that I remember the price, for one night at the Biltmore, okay, that I stood up for half the night to make sure I got my money's worth and didn't just sleep this $215.36 away.
I can't.
But that money would have been better spent saved. Waited, but I was like, no, but I had one day for that. Then what did I do? Then I called a relative. Then I got my butt to New York. Then I stayed there. Then within one day of being in New York, I had 3 job interviews lined up. Interviews. That means I went through the process enough where they're ready to meet with me.
That's
and there
right.
were 3 different law firms. And I said, I'll just live here in New York. That's how it's going to be now. Then when I get my first check, I can get my own place. And boom, shakalak. Turned out I could come back to Rhode Island and the rest is history. But I did what I had to do. So let's say, well, you had family. Well, everybody has family. Everybody. Everybody has family. Or friends. Or a neighbor. Something. Because you didn't start homeless.
Exactly.
See what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So there's things you could do. Then you get your job. You save your check. So obviously, if you are going to live a lifestyle of homelessness, there are many reasons for it.
I mean, I did it for 2 months.
Right.
I did couch surfing.
There you go.
I hung out until we accidentally fell asleep.
Yes.
But I always had a job.
Right.
So, like, I could always say, well, I could give you $50.
Right. And you made it happen.
Exactly.
That's the key. You have to use your resources.
Yes.
So what these people did, normally when liberals get involved, they just kind of go, well, we'll just get your Priuses and Hondas and Leo will give you a hug or something. You know, instead they realize it's multifaceted. There's addiction issues. There's being abused, maybe wives who've been abused by their husbands or vice versa. There's been sex abuse. There's been whatever it is. But it's mainly addiction and mental health issues mm-hmm. are why they are on the road, on the streets. And this place, this facility, would incorporate all of those issues. So you're assigned a counselor. You have regular sessions, you have money classes, you have labor classes, learning how to get a job and learn a skill. So they are attempting to meet each of these issues in this housing facility. And they were able to raise the money rather quickly.
I mean, I would imagine so. You got people like Diane Keaton, Greg German, and the agency, the people concerned.
Right.
I mean, you're getting real. I guess to me, normally this would be the kind of story that I'm just like, whatever.
Right. That's what I expected.
But first off, Greg German, pretty good guy.
Yes.
Gary Foster, another good guy. I did love that movie Soloist with Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey.
Where so, this was talked upon.
It was brought up. The
right.
homelessness and the mental illness.
Yes.
So, like the article says, 9 years later, they're realizing there's a real big issue there.
Yes.
So I do love the people involved, but I love that it's actual celebrities to help, right? Because
right.
we always say, I know they're celebrities and they work for their money too, but they're always right. like, oh, you get the telethons. Just donate.
Thank you.
You can donate more than anybody in this room, and you calling me for
yes,
money.
Yes, right.
Or you want me to call in for money. So to see like celebrities actually behind this.
Thank you.
Maybe it's something that you can see developed in more places.
Well, that's why what you just said about the telethons, this happened, I don't know. Last night I got caught up in the YouTube universe.
Yeah,
And I hate to give them shout out here because they're not a partner, or a sponsor, but who cares? Free advertiser for YouTube. Everybody's heard of it. So I was listening to Rosie O'Donnell, still one of my favorite people. I don't care what anybody says. She can say nothing wrong. She can say nothing, whatever, but I love her. Wanted to be her neighbor. Wanted to be her friend. That is it. Rosie, call me. Rosie, can you hear me? But she was saying about the 9/11 telethon that they had, and I had remembered watching that, and it had all these celebrities try to raise money for the victims and the families of 9/11
yeah.
victims. And I remember it was like literally over 100. That's when Kanye famously had the, you know, Make America Great Again statement. Oh, no. That's when he said George Bush don't like black people. Yeah.
That's right.
But Donald does. Okay. Anyway, so they had that issue. Take him back, Kim. So here's what happened. She didn't agree to go. And I remember thinking, where's Rosie? She's the most giving celebrity in the world. And here's why she didn't go. She was interviewed by Bill O'Reilly, of all people. Bill O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Factor.
Who I still love. I don't care. I know he, you know, me too'd, but forgive him. Anyway, so, because I stopped watching, because he was the only thing I watched on Fox News. I love Bill O'Reilly. I don't care what nobody say. He said some good stuff. He didn't say it in the best way, but boom, shakala. Anyway, now you know Michael stands on that. Now, she was being interviewed by him, being emotional in 2002, and she was like, everybody told me not to be here. My publicist was even crying, saying that you're going to go on Bill O'Reilly's show. The guy's a jackbutt and all this. And they had the most civil conversation about their sides.
Yeah.
And she said, he goes, why didn't you do the 9/11? She goes, listen, I'm with you. The celebrities out there not being for real. I told them I would go and do that telethon if you had $1 million cover charge. You charge everybody that's doing that $1 million
Thank
cover
you.
Charge, and then I'll do it. And they wouldn't do it. So you got people giving $2 or nothing and just going there because they're the name. No, no, no. If you want to give, give. You can each afford $1 million. And you all cannot afford to miss this break.
When you visit the gloomy slums tabernacling themselves in places like K2 and Ajegunle, your definition of survivor is replaced by the gory scenes that churns your inside out. When life suddenly makes sure you were born into a circumstance that is a circle with a stance spread against you, you know that the dream is a non-negotiable thing. life that was supposed to be amazing becomes a maze. You are in, you are stripped of the strength and the sense to dream up lofty dreams. You just want to change your bed from the rice sack that's been consumed since 1964. You just want to change your pillow from the log of wood that Baba Fatima is still keeping malice with you about. 3. When you are born into the poverty of places like Mushin, you become a poster child, a muse in the political propaganda that makes the pot belly teams responsible for this disaster feel good about themselves by giving back to charity. 4. When every day you wake up, you have to make your way up the sunken ladder of debris. You understand that a dream is not a leisurely affair of wandering mind. A dream is a non-negotiable deal that you have to put a ring on or die trying. You know that a dream is a backbending affair where uncut stone begins their journey into diamond rings. And if you are like me, naive enough to believe you can change the world, to you I say Godspeed. May your dreams come true. Selah.
Welcome back to the TiVo Mike Show. Guess what, Mike?
What?
We're back.
We're back.
Isn't that good?
That's
I
great.
Love it. I love when we're back. When I listen to this and I hear the music going, I go, when do we step in? And it just sounds so cool, like a radio program.
It's funny because sometimes I'm like, oh, we should have came in then.
Yeah. Like when it dropped, yeah, like, oh, we could have like slid in the glory. I'm telling you. So now that I just spent the first segment excited about the homeless an issue being addressed in L.A. and giving props to the celebrities. Let me be my real self, controversialness.
Here it comes.
I wrote it on my card, so you know it's true. It says homeless, colon. I wrote a colon after the word homeless. That means it's going to be, you know, and something's going to be put there. Who's best prepared to solve the problem? So here's my controversial answer. It needs to stay in the private sector.
Mm.
It cannot happen by government hands. It can't.
No, you're right. And that's what I liked about that other company.
That's why it's good.
It's private.
Private. And
no
they saved 75% of the cost because if it was going through the government, you got to pay people at these certain unions rate if they, and pay all these fines and fees and for the politicians, loafers and stuff, and which politician gets a sign off that they solved it, and then their constituency, private people. And more specifically, believers.
Mm, I like
that. The church. The chach, as I say. Okay, the chach needs to step up and be the chach. Now, it doesn't mean on a Sunday, on one of the many of what do they do at churches, they have the bulletin. Before we get to the word, you know, here's the word, we're going to talk about Jesus, we're going to sing to Jesus, but before we do all that, let's talk about parking lot and rules and all this other thing, you know, like a real company, whatever. Like, if believers who can follow the Lord can't follow parking lot stuff, then y'all got another issue. You don't need to waste no time in chat talking about when service starts, when it's going to end, how to submit your stuff to the office. If you are that incompetent as a believer, we don't need you.
That's right.
You need to give your brain to Jesus. Let him just fix it because you're dumb. Amen. So they don't need to make it a project either. All right, so we're starting this campaign or project to give homeless people homes and stuff. No, just by being believers. Just by naturally being believers. There are certain things that can't be organized to the, what's the word I'm looking for? It can't be organized to the hilt.
Yes.
It just needs to be a function.
It's funny, and it's funny you say that too. So in Woonsocket, there's a church I used to attend.
Right.
And they have an armory. So, like, the church is here, and then there's a brick armory building here.
Ah.
No one uses it. nothing's being dealt with.
And right, at the armory.
I always think, how many rooms are in there? How is that segmented off? Because I'm not saying it's going to solve the homelessness problem, but we have enough space where it hasn't been turned to a condo some type of living situation.
Thank you.
So why don't we throw a couple cots? It doesn't have to be expensive. Like you guys, you guys think, oh, we're helping homeless. Homeless just means you put a roof over their head.
And so confront the whatever help, issue is.
Exactly.
And if you're a believer, you're equipped.
You have Jesus. Yes.
You say, what's wrong with you? Do you why do you keep calling me a Ferrari? You know I'm a human. Oh, you need a pill. You go down to the Coastal Medical. You say, that person thinks everybody's Ferraris. Give them the pill that says anti-Ferrari, we human pills. How much does it cost with my copay? $30? Okay, here you go. Darling, take the pill. They take the pill. Then you're like, now you talk to them. You say, listen, we found you outside hugging a cot next to the blown up alligator. Now, you ain't going to live there no more. We're going to put you on a cot in this armory here, okay? You can use this address. We're going to help you out with your resume tomorrow. And I'm going to ask you, what can you do? What are you good at? You weren't born next to this inflatable alligator.
Exactly.
So how did life happen to you? Oh, I was an administrative assistant. Oh, I was a doctor. I was a lawyer. I was a construction worker. Wonderful. Let's do that again. And now let's talk about your soul, child. What's going on? Let's get something to eat and let's talk about Jesus. See, it should be the natural extension of your work. And you said something interesting. You go, well, it's not going to solve the whole problem. When did believers, before we do anything, decide we have to solve the whole thing?
Exactly.
Jesus said, we don't need to do that. He goes, the poor? He literally said this. He goes, the poor? And he said it like that. I heard him in my mind. He said, the poor? Oh, they're going to be with you always. But I'm only here for this time. Y'all need to be listening to what I'm saying right now. Okay, he didn't say the poor, oh, yeah, y'all will fix that in 2018. No. Or 2020 with Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas, Cherokee Indian woman. They didn't say any of that. He said the poor will be with you always. Always.
Mm.
Let me help you with that. That means longer than a year. That means longer than 100 years. That means always. But your life should be such that you do it. Like when I take a meal, and you know I can eat a meal, bless God. I don't go, before I eat this meal, is this meal going to solve my hunger issues forever?
No.
It barely solved my hunger issue for the day. But I still find myself spending $2, $3, $4 and eating. So it don't matter. Open up a building. You got 4 slots there. You just fixed 4's lives. Amen. Next. You got 14 bedrooms in your roof or whatever. You got 14 more people you could put up there. Or maybe 7, and then every room could be a bathroom for them. Bless God. Really be a blessing. I'm just saying, you're a rich person. You buy these homes in California that come with guest houses. Well, there you go. Now you got a guest house. Because now you got a guest.
Yes,
I mean, it's not that hard.
It
should be the natural rhythm. But it's on us as believers. We're not called to fix everything. We're called to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Shouldn't we do that?
We definitely should.
So is your church next to the Moontalk or the old church you used to go to with the armory? Have they, at this point, even done anything?
No. And it was funny because I was thinking about it the other day. And I was like, I remember when that was a big deal. So
right.
I'm going to take some time over the next couple of months and find out what the goal is with that place.
Yes.
Because I'm sure if you write to enough people, you can get electricity donated. I'm
Thank
sure
you.
If you write to enough people, you can get gas donated.
Yes.
They
would love that. National Grid gets, in the news for doing a good thing.
Yeah. So.
You could work it.
I'm going to see what it takes. But I was thinking about that. It's so funny you're talking about this because I was thinking about that last month.
Right.
I was just looking at and most of it's because I'm seeing some of the riffraff that used to hang out here.
Right. Right.
Bleeding into my hometown.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, listen. Like, we don't have that in my hometown.
Right. Right. And that's the thing. If you see, they say if you see something, say something.
Yes.
So say something to them. See, a believer, we're unique, the world. We believe we've got the answer to life.
Mm.
So if you're looking at someone who clearly don't look like they got any answers, they don't even have light. bless God. They don't have food. They don't have a sane mind.
That's right.
They don't have no money. And you do. Can you listen to Money Monday all this time? If you're 50, 30, 20 into death, then you got everything they don't have. And if he told you they will know you by the love you have for one another, and I tell you, go and spread the gospel, and you see riffraff in your face, that is who you spread the gospel with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that hard. And it's an extension of it. So when you go to the church fellowship, everybody there praising Jesus, they're reminded of the stories all week long of who these lives they've been touching. Amen. Like angels. Get it? So all of a sudden, we're doing the work of God, and then they announce what's already happened. Not a one-time project they're saving up for 20 years so they can build one little thing and have one big meal party for Thanksgiving. We're taking up a collection. Screw Thanksgiving. Hang Christmas. Where is every day you're doing something already happened to? Cause let me tell you something. You homeless, you ain't too worried. I know the movies are cute, and I love Home Alone too. But ain't nobody that sad at Christmas time because they homeless only for Christmas. Okay, they really don't give a care. Every day looks the same. And have you ever lived in California, you don't even know that there's weather changes. You don't know what season
that's
it
true.
Is. So just help, help. Help. Let it be the rhythm of your life, like Beyonce and her dance skills.
Peter simply went back to doing what he was doing before. He returned to the old self. But then Jesus shows up. What does he say? He says, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep." And what Jesus is doing with those commands is he is actually giving Peter a new identity. He's saying, "Peter, you are no longer a fisherman. You are a shepherd." And that's what Jesus does. When he calls us to follow him, he not only redeems us of our sin, but he actually gives us a whole new identity. He says, "You are no longer slaves. You're a son. You're a daughter of God." He says, "It's no longer filthy rags, but now we are clothed in his righteousness." When we choose to follow Jesus, it's not just so that we can study the Bible more and show up to church every week. It is so that we can actually receive a whole new transformative identity because of his love and grace.
Oh, man.
Glory to the glory, right?
Everything. But it needs to be the natural rhythm of your life.
Yeah, it does.
And I remember, and I'll just give one example before I get to my last segment here, is I was coming home from a reunion of sorts. I forgot what it was in South Carolina. It was a whole lot of Black Jeffersons. So, and I had an issue then with, I'll admit it, with spreading the gospel. You know, I had an issue.
Mike was funny like that. He could spread the gospel to complete strangers.
Yes.
But something about bringing it up to family.
Because I just, because I let me get in the way. I said, "Jesus, take a break." And that was messed up, bless God. But I remembered it was on my mind the whole time. So finally, at the end of the vacation, whatever it was, I had a very raw and candid gospel preacher message, and so I said some stuff, and I got really in glory. Amen. The Holy Spirit was moving. It wasn't me, because I would have tagged out of the situation. But I'm glad I did, because it got the ball rolling with them and all that good stuff. And so anyway, but I was like, "Oh, I should do this all the time. Why don't I just also look guilty?" But like, God, I don't want to say something to people. It's not my business. They need to go to you. He goes, "How are they going to know to come to me if you don't say?" I go, "Well, you're God. Figure it out." You know what I'm saying? Don't make you ask. If it's all Michael's, we going to work. That's a bad plan. Now, I know you normally come up with very good plans. But if your plan is to get people through me, you can get three folks. So he could tell that was weighing on me. I was struggling. And so I was on the plane. I love being on planes. I get such perspective from the Holy Spirit on planes. But anyway, now I'm up on the plane and the Holy Spirit says, so every time someone comes to you and they tell you they're a sinner, you will tell them how to be a saint.
Mm.
I said, wait a minute, what do you mean? But instantly I knew, right, when I was starting to, oh, so because people know I'm a believer, people around me every once in a while will come up to me and say, guess what I did last night? So I was with four girls, and it was great. I was tagging them. I was in her vagina. I was in her ear, upper nose, upper, you know, buttocks, and all these things. And we did all these things, no condom, bliss, you know, everything. We just did it all. Because they'll want to make it a point to tell the believer, you know, because they, you know, they get off on that or something. I don't know, horny folks. And so they're already telling, they already got as raw as it can be. They told me all their business.
Yeah.
Is there anything more private than where you put your penis?
No.
No, right. That's pretty private. So that's why they call them private parts. I don't even call them public parts. Amen. Okay, Weinstein. So, Cosby.
I mean,
so
in Cosby's defense, he did right. It all in private.
All of us, true. It was even private to them. So, no, that's accurate. No, sorry. He needs to say sorry. We still haven't heard of his apology. But, oh, well. J-E-L-L-O. Anyway, so if they say that to me, I'm going to say, you sinner. I said, how dare you pervert sex? What are we talking about? It feels good. A lot of things feel good. It might even feel good to lick a tree. Don't mean you do it. The tongue ain't made for sap. What the flip you doing? And if she says something, you're not meant to capture that in your mouth. That's not how biology works. What you doing? What's up with you? And they're not believers.
Yes,
so I'm going to say, do you know what you're doing? You are sinning against the Creator. God made sex divine, and you're perverting it and making it evil. This is what you do, but that's okay because you're already a naturally evil person. That's going to get there, what? And all of a sudden, I start to preach the gospel. I ask them the way of the master. I start asking them questions. Do you believe right now that you're a good person? They're going to tell me yes or no. Well, have you ever committed adultery? They're going to have to be honest in that moment and tell me, well, yeah, I have. Right. Now, if you were to stand in front of God, in front of, would you be found innocent or guilty? Well, I guess I'd be guilty. And would you be sentenced to heaven or hell? Well, probably to hell. And does that concern you? And if they say, nah, not really, don't really concern me, I say, let me have your phone so I can step on it. No, why not? That's my phone. That's the XRS Samsung/iPhone. That thing costs $2 million. And I go, well, okay, it's just your phone. So if you're protective of your phone, how much more your soul? This is the TiVo Mike Show.
They said all the best things in life are free. They're full of you gotta pay bills, gotta save for retirement. What are you gonna do? Become a drug dealer? Sell your kidney? You gotta get real. TiVo Mike can help you. TiVo Mike's money coaching program will help make more Benjamins and less Jacksons. TiVo Mike will help you deal with collectors, pay off debt, and get your life in order. Let TiVo Mike show you the money. Visit TiVoMike.com/money right now. That's TiVoMike.com/money.
Everything happens. Oh, you gotta watch it. Adam Sandler, 100% fresh.
Right.
Watched it last night. A lot of singing, a lot of silliness.
Is it a stand up?
Yeah, it's a stand up. Okay. Hilarious, dude. But listen,
Netflix.
Guys. Homelessness is a real thing. It starts with us, the saints, the believers.
Yes.
And getting rid of it. And we gotta keep it in the private sector. Can't be asking the government for no more handouts. We got enough people doing that and making a career out of it.
Right.
Let us be the fix. Start little. Let your backyard be open for tents.
Right.
We ain't gonna say all gotta be in the house. But you got the room sometimes, you gotta make the room, but you gotta be the image. You gotta be the change.
Yes. And sometimes it could just be a conversation with them.
It doesn't even gotta be them at your house.
Right. Just something. What did you do? Instead of trying to alter your eyes and have and divert eye contact. You know. I'm just
saying.
You
know the worst part is
right?
That's what we all do.
Exactly. It's going to be like crazy. Like, that's what you want to make sure you get this done correct, people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So I pray today's message was done a blessing to you. Hope it was awesome and all that. Because that's all we produce here is something great and all that. But remember to follow Jesus daily, not just merely on Sunday at the church.
The T-Row Mike Show is produced by Michael Jefferson. Our soundboard operator is Mike Warner. Our theme music is by Eric Dano. Special thanks to Sharon Jefferson, Sandra Warner, Matthew Jefferson, Desiree Hidalgo, and Shanika Goodine. That's it for the T-Row Mike Show. I'm Mike Warner. See you tomorrow when we explore redeeming messages drawn from secular TV shows that are worthy of being watched.